הווה נגילה ונשמחה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורחים בלב שמח.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm in tears listening to my song, but it says, everybody, be happy and sing. And this is Judge Eve. Welcome to the show. I'm so honored to have Dave Longway, the author of Rebirth, which is about the birth of Israel while I lived in Jerusalem. So that's wonderful. Hello, Dave Longway. How are you?
Oh, hello, Judge Eve. I'm doing really well, and just I want to thank you for having me on your show. It's a real privilege and a real honor to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. It is for me, you know, because to me, anything connected with Israel is very important, and I know there are many, many people who would appreciate hearing what you have to say. But what I'd like to do first, Dave, would you kind of give us a little background about yourself? You're not Jewish, right?
That's correct. I'm Gentile by description, I guess, non-Jewish. I'm a Christian, and I'm 52 years old, married, with two children who are now grown adults. And my background is really vast in the media arts. I am a multimedia producer by trade. I shoot and edit video and produce all kinds of videos. I also own a recording studio and recorded
hundreds
of albums.
Yeah. Yes.
And a musician as well, served on many worship groups. Yeah, as a drummer and a piano player. And
wow.
I do professional narration on radio and various webcasts, things like that. Just
wow.
Everything media related, I guess you would say.
You know, Doug,
and,
who...
Yeah.
Hello?
I've been a writer for 30 years.
Yes.
I've been writing all
yes.
kinds of things, from lyrics to songs and different various short subjects. And then Rebirth is actually my first novel that I spent 3 years intensely researching, writing, more researching, writing. I've actually
yes.
been a student of the scriptures for almost
yes.
30 years. So very well acquainted with, yeah, with the Tanakh as well as the New Testament.
But I wanted to ask you, Dave, what led you... Let me first say you also had written a book called End Times, right, before this one?
Yes. Yes.
And was that more a factual type book rather than a novel?
It was.
Say,
correct. It was nonfiction, factual book about the prophecies describing the end times, basically.
Let me ask you this. What led you to... Well, let me first say, you're a media producer, and I know you've done all kinds of documentaries, one following missionaries all over the place, including Mexico, as I recall correctly.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And you would love to have the book Rebirth made into a movie. So I'm calling out there, people. Anybody wants to make a movie out of this book? Well, Dave, before I forget to, how can people get your book, and where can they contact you?
Yeah, real simple. The easiest way is to go to Rebirth's website, which is simple. It's rebirthofisrael.com. Very simple,
okay.
rebirthofisrael.com. And front and center, there's an Amazon link, so you can purchase it on Amazon in paperback or the Kindle, available both ways. You can
yes.
also purchase it at Barnes & Noble or the Nook, and pretty much any other format that you want to. So again, rebirthofisrael.com, front and center. You'll see our book trailer video and links to take you right to Amazon or wherever you want to purchase it at.
Wonderful. And now if you kindly tell me, because I want to know, what led you to research about Israel, like you say, for about 30 years? What caused you to do
yeah.
that?
Well, I was just sharing in a Bible study earlier this morning with 25 men that, you know, when you give your heart to the Lord and you decide you want to really walk with God and get into the Bible and learn more about it, you have
yes.
a natural love for Israel, because Israel is all over the Word of God. Whether
right.
you want to call the word the Tanakh or the Torah, or as Christians say, the Old Testament, you know, whatever you want to call it, Israel is all over the place. And my favorite scripture, my theme scripture for rebirth is Genesis 12:3, where God promises to bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who treat Israel with contempt.
And hence,
that's powerful. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, he has. Yeah.
Yes,
years ago,
I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but forgive me for doing so. Years ago, I was asked to translate from English to Hebrew a little booklet that talked about how every nation in history that had turned against Israel and the Jews had been destroyed. You know, Egypt.
Funny you say that. I was just about to say that.
You're kidding. Go ahead. You know, I'm a prophet. You know, I'm a seer. So don't be surprised.
Well, you certainly read my next thoughts, because, no joke, I was just about to say, nobody will ever be able to stand against Israel, you know?
Exactly.
It's just, it's a lost cause. If you want Israel gone, it's a lost cause.
God bless you. You know something? It's so funny when you think about it. This tiny little sliver of land, a tiny little nothing nation, is in the news every day, every day, every day. You know, I love China, I love India, I love all these countries, but you don't hear about them as much as you hear about little Israel. Isn't that something?
Yeah, and I tell you, there's, you know, God is famous for showing people who's boss.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Judges 7, you have the story of Gideon. And Gideon was about to go against the Midianites. You know, the Israelis basically were going against a fierce enemy. And the Lord said, you have too many men. And he whittled Gideon's men down to 300. And there were tens of thousands of enemies. And so you look at that story and you're like, oh, boy, this is going to be a slaughter for the Israelis. But the Lord said, this way, when your 300 men go against these tens of thousands of enemies, and when you win the battle, you'll know that I did the battle. Nobody will be able to say, oh, yeah, we're a fortified army, and we did this. And,
you know,
it's the same way today with Israel.
Exactly. You know, another story, Elijah, you know, when his servant says, oh, you know, the Israelites are going to lose, and Elijah asked God to open up his eyes. And he saw all these thousands of angels surrounding them. And one other quick story, this was from an Israeli soldier who fought in the Sinai conflict. I think it was the 67 war. And he became a Christian. He became to believe in Jesus in his life. And let me just add, just because somebody is Jewish and accepts Jesus in their life, I have been so persecuted for it that you don't abandon your Judaism. You know, it just gives you the background. But he saw a bullet go straight to his forehead and straight up. And he knew that an angel, can you imagine? So he knew an angel was protecting him, you know? And that's the whole point with Israel. You know, there's another verse that says, you know, that God, in Hebrew, it's Beyat Chazakah Uvizor Netuyah, which means with a strong hand and a bent arm, you know, with a fist. This is how he shakes his hand against those who go against Israel, you know?
Well, I have to tell you, all throughout my book, in Rebirth, in my research, I found that when the Jews were going against the battles of the Arabs all through the War of Independence to get their nation, that so many Jewish commanders were radioing into the headquarters saying, we're out of ammo, we're out of supplies, we're backed into a corner, and there's, you know, 10 times more Arabs fighting on the other end. But for some reason, we don't know why, they have stopped in their tracks. They must think, because we stopped shooting and we're out of ammo, that it's a trap or something. And, you know, God confused the enemies, and they won so many battles that ordinarily would have been, the Jews would have been slaughtered for it.
You're making me
God
cry.
God did the battle.
I know. Before I forget, forgive me, I can't help but cry, you know, because it's so true how present God was, and I want you to go into the book. But let me first give our call-in numbers if anybody would like to call in. It's either 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008 or 530-327-7602. I know it's a lot of numbers, but let me repeat once more. 530-327-7602. So you know what, Dave, before going into more detail about your research, please, I was in Jerusalem, I told you. I'm between 3 and 21 in age, but I was in Jerusalem during the time of independence. And I can tell you, you know, we had no food. We were in a building right across the street from the English police station. You know, they were shooting at us all the time. We had
right.
no water. You know about that, huh?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. And, you know,
they
like my mother.
They called that the siege on Jerusalem.
Exactly. And, you know, it's really, we had the siege because the main road to Jerusalem was being shot at by the Arabs in a place called Latrun, Latrun, I think. So whenever any caravan or any cars were trying to bring supplies, they were being shot at. So
right.
I will never, you know, my mother, for a family of four, could only get like a quarter of the round, like a rye bread for a week. If you sow an egg, it was a miracle. You know, if you sow chicken, another big miracle. And I'll never forget the Saturday when the caravan came through the road called Bab el Wad, where many, many trucks were found, you know, damaged. And it was Shabbat, you know, Saturday in the morning and about 7 a.m. And people ran into the streets and the rooftops in their pajamas because 400 trucks finally broke through to bring us food. And I remember...
Yeah, and the miracle, I'm sorry to interrupt, yes. but the miracle, that story was in a movie called To Cast a Giant Shadow, starring
exactly.
Burt Lancaster.
And no, it was Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kirk Douglas, yes.
Yes,
I
love
two
that.
Of them. It was a great yes. movie about an American colonel who came basically in disguise to help the Jewish armies to battle
yes.
the Arabs. And, of course, he was instrumental in finding an alternative road and digging through the dirt, you know, to get supplies to Jerusalem to people who were being
exactly.
starved out, one of which was you.
And you know something else what shocked me in that movie? That many of those who helped dig the road were concentration camp survivors. Did you
yes.
know, did you think? So it just breaks my heart. You know, here they, forgive me. Why don't you go ahead, David, and talk about what you write about in the book and how you got the information. I'm just so overcome. Go ahead, please.
I really appreciate that a lot. And yeah, you know, as you know, as I said earlier, I've been a writer for 30 years, and I really wanted to write a novel. I just, for years and years, wanted to write this book, and like a lot of people, stuck it on the shelf, didn't get around to it. I was raising a family, worked full-time. Hard to do, you know.
Yes.
Finally,
yes.
I just sat down in January of 2009 and said, I'm writing the book. And the Lord had already placed on my heart, I want you to write
yes.
about the rebirth of Israel. At that
wow.
time, I didn't fully understand everything that the Lord wanted to do, but into the
yes.
book, about 9-10 months, the Lord really started speaking to my heart. This is a ministry. This is a message
yes.
I want people to know. I want people to support my nation, is what the Lord was speaking to my heart.
Wow.
And of course,
wow.
again, with such a long biblical history behind me, any Christian,
yes.
any person that studies the scriptures is going to have a natural love for Israel because God loves Israel. And so
exactly.
it's a natural inclination to have a love for that country. Also,
yes.
very important, you know, in
yes.
many scriptures, we know that Israel has to exist in the last days and that the battles
yes.
that are going to come in place and the tribulation period and, you know, all those things have to take place and Israel has to be a nation in our
exactly.
future. And that's an exciting mm-hmm. thing. Well, that's part
yes.
of the background of starting to write this novel. So again, I spent 3 years, and
yes.
miraculously, God did some incredible things. First of all,
yes.
about 10
yes.
months into writing, I had a character
yes.
who was traveling from America to Palestine
yes.
for various reasons. His name's Charles Devonshire, and he was
yes.
an abused young man who decided to go to Palestine to uncover answers to his family's troubled history. He wanted
really?
To know if
why,
he was
why,
the reason.
Why Israel? Was he Jewish? He's not Jewish, right?
He's not Jewish, but here's the thing. He grew up
yes.
under a very anti-Semitic father who lived in the Los Angeles
oh.
area. And this
oh.
person in the 30s was a prolific distributor of Hitler's propaganda. And, you
wow.
know, in 1930s Los Angeles, very true story, you could get
yeah.
propaganda pamphlets from Hitler all over the place. It was prolific
no.
all over Los Angeles and many
I
major
did not
cities.
Know. I did
yes.
not know
Hitler's
that.
Goal,
oh.
the main
yes.
goal of Hitler was, okay, we can't conquer America. We've got too much here. Let's
yes.
undermine the people to start believing about the Jews and how they're trying to take over America. And when we undermine the people, we will actually assume the government take over through their minds, through propaganda, through lies. That was his big thing. So propaganda was so prolific in America during Hitler's reign. It's incredible.
Wow.
So this is Charles Devonshire's father. So you have Charles Devonshire, who's not anti-Semitic, but he grew up under a father who abused him and was very anti-Semitic. And so Charles finds a photo behind his mother's mirror, and it's a photo of him as a little toddler. And him and his parents are standing in front of the sign of a university called the Technion, which is a prominent university to this very day in Haifa.
It's in Haifa,
and
Technion means something, you know, which is very technical. That's what it really stands for. You know, I'm sorry to disturb you, but many Hebrew words, you know, Hebrew is a very ancient language. So they had to modernize some words as they became known. You know, to give you an example, there used to be a word called battle dress, you know, which I knew referred to jackets at the military war. I didn't know till I came to America there was an English word, you know, battle dress.
So back to Charles, the way that he got to Palestine is he understood from the photo. His parents lied. They were not from Los Angeles originally. They were from Palestine. Because he saw himself as a toddler in front of the sign of the Technion, which was in Haifa, the research center.
Right, Haifa.
So here's the incredible part. I have this American that wants to go and be a student at the Technion and find out undercover secrets that his family was holding, because he wanted to know if he was the reason that he was being abused, or was it all on his parents. So 10 months into writing, I found online a lady whose name is Zipporah. And she was an American student in real life in 1947 from New York, and her dad sent her to the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. She lived through this whole incident of Israel becoming a nation. She was actually a prototype of basically my character in the book. So I emailed her, and to my you know, encouragement and shock, she said, "You can ask anything about this period. I lived it. I'd love to tell you about it." And then on top of
that,
so
did I.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Not only did I get to correspond with a real eyewitness to get the facts straight, but Zipporah also was going to the Hebrew University in 1947 to be a writer, and she wrote letters to her family twice a week about the daily goings-on. She ended up joining the Haganah, which was the Jewish underground military, and she fought in the War of Independence in 1948, lived the whole thing.
Wow.
Well, later when she went to New York to bury her parents, she found this box of letters, all her letters that she wrote. She published it in a book, and I, of course, devoured that book daily and got all these incredible details of the daily goings-on in this whole story. So I had incredible insight from an eyewitness, and that was such a huge help.
I have to tell you, my father had a furniture store in Jerusalem, you know, and at night he'd come home and he'd change his clothes and go to the Haganah to defend Israel, And are you there?
Yes.
Isn't
that
something, Dave?
So,
you know, to me, when you talk about this story, I mean, I'm reliving exactly what we went through. You know, as children, we had food, and we'd go pick up plants in the field and found out which plants we could eat. You know how kids here collect baseball cards, you know, and exchange them? When the British, the English police station, which was right, we were at Kikar HaDegel. Does that mean anything to you? It was like the circle of the flags is where our building was. And we exchanged bullet casings. You know, like some had red circles on the back, some had blue, some had green. So, no, you have to read my book, Diary of a Cyberface in Action. It's on my website, which I'm going to have advertised in a minute, you know, on the show.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I'm dying to read it. Absolutely dying to read it.
Thank you, because it explains a little bit about my time in there. Let me just note that we're going to go to a commercial.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on BBFsRadio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of Sabra Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you.
Hello again, everybody. This is Judge Eve, and I'm so delighted and blessed to have author and media producer Dave Langevin as my guest today. He's produced many, many movies and videos and books, but the main thing now is his book called Rebirth, which is about the rebirth of Israel. And as he talks, he's just pulling the strings of my heart because that's where I was during the War of Independence for Israel. And Dave, you know, I had one other question to you. Why did you make it as a novel rather than actually an historical, factual story? What led you to do that?
I'm really glad you asked that, Judge Eve, because I get asked that a lot. And, you know, other people have asked me, why write a book about rebirth of Israel? There's so many. Why add to the collection? And what the Lord really put on my heart was to make this a unique presentation because, let's face it, there are a lot of great documentaries and a lot of great nonfictions about the rebirth of Israel and the prophecies and this whole subject. And they're wonderful. I love them. But, you know, if you're anything like my wife, which there's millions like her, she won't touch a documentary. She doesn't read nonfiction. She just, it's not her thing. And I found out that there's a large, massive audience who love movies, who love stories.
Yes.
But they won't touch a documentary, so there's an unreached mass of people that really need to be told the story and the prophecies through storytelling. And let's face it, Yeshua told lots of stories in parables.
Yes.
And so he knew firsthand that people relate to stories.
Yes.
And so if you could think of Pearl Harbor, Schindler's List, the movie Defiance, To Cast a Giant Shadow, all these movies.
Yes.
Rebirth is similar to that, except it specializes in the miracles and the prophecies that led to Israel's rebirth. It's very strong spiritual message and a story. There's a love story in there and a lot going on about just the human will to survive. And you know what?
Yes.
What happened to the Holocaust survivors when they were free?
What?
Not too many stories about that. And Rebirth covers all those things.
Oh, great. Okay, because, you know, you see, well, I have, many of my parents' friends were Holocaust survivors, you know, with a number on their arm. And almost every single one of them who came to L.A. became very, very wealthy. You know, they bought property, they worked day and night, you know, end up living in Beverly Hills, which is where my parents ended up living. And by the way, the reason I call my website 90210 Holocaust is because my parents lived in that zip code, were killed by my brother and sister with the use of doctors, you know, like Michael Jackson, Anna Nicole Smith. And by the way, it's happening on a huge scale. They had lived 6 blocks west of the Menendez brothers who had shot their parents. And all the money stolen.
That.
Do you remember that story about
that? I do. I do remember that, and that was a horrific story. And you know, there's so many Holocaust survivors that people don't know their story in getting to their promised land. And here's what happened. Basically, imagine you're a Holocaust survivor just freed from Hitler's death camps. Well, the only thing offered to the average survivor was a tent in frigid European fields. And the majority of countries did not want to have anything to do with Jews. You had to apply and wait for a long time to get into America or any other country. But the word in the camp was this. The Lord promised us a land. In Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, God says, I will bless Israel, and I will regather my people Israel and bring them back to their land, and they shall never again uprooted from their land. So you had this scripture and many others like it that really spoke to many Jews. And you also had several Jewish people who were also just like, we just want a land for our own, and we want it now, and we want to go somewhere. So we'll tag along with those who believe in the scriptures, too. So basically, they would get on any kind of boat that would float, safe or not. Many of them were 800 people on a boat only supposed to hold 300 or 400 people. Here's the miracle, though. The Jews had three massive barriers to pass before they could enter their promised land. And this is the part of history people don't realize that would make a phenomenal movie. So I ask people all the time, even pastors, even people who know this era well, I ask them, what's the largest barrier that prevented Jews from entering their promised land? And most people are like, oh, gosh, I don't know. And when the British ruled Palestine and the area around it, they had a very tight relationship with the oil Arab countries, because during World War II, the British had very heavily reliance on oil. Here we go again, oil. And so the Jews would get on any boat that would float during and after World War II, sail across the Mediterranean, and midway, the British had a blockade. They would literally throw grappling hooks.
I always wondered about that, Steve. Why? Why did they have a blockade?
Yep, and it was because the Arabs had pressured the British long ago. We don't want Jews in this territory. We see the writing on the wall. We believe Hitler's propaganda that the Jews want to take over the world, which they never wanted to. They just wanted a land. And the propaganda scared all the Arabs in the area that the Jews were going to take over the world, which was Hitler's biggest lie. And so the British...
Before the British left Palestine... The Jews and the Arabs got along fine. That's why I'm so surprised to hear that. Pardon me?
They got along great. And you know what? This is a good time to say that your average Arab is a friendly person. They love Jews. There's no problems. They love the commerce that the early Jews were bringing to Palestine. The Jews were bringing incredible crops and doing great things, and there's jobs. And Arabs were coming all over the place. They're living in harmony. But here's the big problem.
Yes.
It wasn't the common Arab who was the problem. It was
the
Saddam Husseins. It was the Adama Himajads, you know, president of Iran and people like Saddam Hussein, who were stirring up the minority. It was the leaders in the area of the Jewish of the Arab nations who were dead against having Jews in their land.
Have you heard about the Mufti, the head of Jerusalem, the Arab head of Jerusalem, something I did not know till a few years ago? He went to Germany and was trained by Hitler's forces how to hate the Jews. Did you know that?
I have a film of it. It's on my website. That's how well I know it. And it's in Rebirth. Rebirth talks specifically about Al Husseini. His name's a little longer than that, so I call him Al Husseini. But he was the Arab Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. And he was basically considered the Hitler of the Arab world. Not only did he meet with Hitler, and I have it on a rare film reel on my website, not only did he meet with Hitler, and he encouraged the Germans to come to Palestine, and he also provided 20,000 Arab troops to join the SS Army. I have photos of Arabs side by side with the SS Army fighting in World War II together. Now it goes way deeper than that.
Can you please state your website? Because I know you also have a website, Support Israel, which you issue regularly.
Yeah.
But what website do people go to?
It's rebirthofisrael.com. And you can see the images. You can see this video. You can also purchase the book on Amazon through rebirthofisrael.com.
Great.
So
go ahead,
this is enemy number two. We already know enemy number one was the British because of the oil.
Yes.
Enemy number two was post-war Nazis who were dedicated to accomplishing Hitler's dream. So even after Hitler was defeated and the Nazis were no more, so to speak, they were infiltrating the Arab world because they were in cahoots with the Arabs all the way from the beginning. So enemy number one, British. Enemy number two was the Nazis. Enemy number three, of course, was the radical Islamists. Not the common Arab, but the radical Islamist who drove Arabs to hate Jews, basically. So could you imagine, you're a Jew, you're a Holocaust survivor, and you're in the Mediterranean Sea headed towards your promised land. A British destroyer comes up beside you with men, women, children, you're unarmed. You're arrested for illegal immigration, and you're taken to the island of Cyprus off the coast of Turkey, and you're detained against your will. And that's what the British were doing. And a lot of people find this unbelievable. I did until I researched it. I have the films of it. You can see Jews being arrested and taken to Cyprus.
Do you remember the
really
movie
incredible.
Exodus? Remember the movie Exodus?
That it starts that out with Cyprus. Yes.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And you have little movies on that, too, on your website?
Yes, I do have it on my website. It's all there. You can see all this stuff. So if you were somebody, if you were in the 1930s and the 1940s, and you were talking about the prophecies that told rebirth, you know, coming in our future, everybody would laugh at you because not only did the Holocaust survivors were ill-equipped and they weren't ready for battle, but they were having to stand up against massive enemies. Huge, the British government, post-war Nazis, Arabs all over the place. And it was just an incredible thing. So the world basically looked on these Jews who finally, some did get through. Some did make it to Palestine. And they joined the Haganah, which was the underground Jewish army at the time. Again, ill-equipped army, underground. They had to hide from the British who ruled the land. And it was just an impossible feat. And again, the Lord allowed all this because He got the credit. Only Israel could be a nation because the divine miracle that took place. When you read Rebirth, you will stand back blown away and going, there's no possible way any man could have made Israel a nation. It's impossible. You see the hand of God through it. You really, it's more than obvious that God established the nation in 1948 to fulfill the prophecy.
Made into a movie, it's going to be going worldwide, it's going to be translated into every language in Jesus' name, Lord. We're humble before you. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. And Lord, you are in charge of this world, whether people like it or not. And you show them that you do what you want done in Jesus' name. We bind
amen.
I was just going to finish, if I may. We bind you hindering spirits from interfering. We loose your archangel Michael, the angel of the Jews, and all your hosts to bring it all in. And even now you touch people's hearts who want to support Dave in this project to make it huge, huge, huge because of his pure heart in bringing this message to the world. In Jesus' name. You know, I've had so many miraculous things that happened to me with God, you know, that to me, you know, you put God on the scene and everybody else better run away.
You know,
and you know what's so interesting, you know, when I was a little girl and I used to say to my dad, why did the Jews allow the Nazis to kill them? He said, well, they thought that's what God wanted them to do. They thought prayer would save them. I said, Abba, you know, Father, I said, you can't do that. You know, Israeli born, which I am one. You know what a Sabra is, right?
Yes.
You know, and I'm definitely a Sabra. You know, I had military training at the age of 12 in Israel.
Wow.
Because, at the time, they chose two girls and two boys from the eighth grade. You needed to go to summer camp for 2 months because in the ninth grade in high school, you helped the actual military representative, you know, direct your class. I mean, this is... Thank God I didn't learn how to shoot guns, so I didn't like it for me. But, I mean, how to jump, how to run, you know, you had to run every day. We lived in tents, you know, regular military stuff. So I said to my dad, why didn't they get up and fight? You know, that's what Israelis do, right? He said they didn't know. Yeah, he said they didn't know that they should. Isn't that sad? I mean, to me, it just breaks my heart. I have family members who stayed behind. My parents were from Poland. And the reason I'm alive is because my father's father, my grandpa, my father was 17 in Warsaw, and he said he would have had to go to an army, you know, and he said if he's going to go to any army, let it be a Jewish army. So they came to Palestine. My mother's father, my mother told me, read in the Jewish paper, he read between the lines, and he said this Hitler is not going to be good for the Jewish people. So they moved to Palestine, and my parents met on the beach in Tel Aviv.
Wow.
Have you been to Israel, Dave?
No, and I'm dying to go. Everybody laughed at me, like, you wrote this book and you haven't been there. I said, no, all my friends have gone, or a lot of them have gone, you know, and I'm dying to go, but finances have prevented me so far.
You know what I'm thinking? The Israeli government should invite you to the opening of the movie Rebirth, which should
be
in
awesome.
Israel. Wouldn't that be something?
It
Lord,
would be.
You bring it to pass in Jesus' name. God bless you, Dave. I'm just so touched. Forgive me, you know. I was anointed as a prophet to my people, Israel. And when the lady who was a prophet anointed me, she said she'd
That's
never
great.
Heard that happen. Well, I started wailing, Dave, wailing. Here's a woman I just met. Her husband is in the other room. I'm so embarrassed. I couldn't stop. So finally she said, Jesus, bless her with your laughter. And I started laughing and laughing. And then she said, Jesus, anoint her with your love. And everybody I saw, I love you, I love you.
And That's incredible.
We became friends, and she told me later she'd never heard anybody wail like that, and it was from my people, Israel. You know the verse
That's
about
awesome.
Rachel crying for... Mm-hmm. So forgive me if I keep disturbing your story, but...
That's okay. You know, everybody deserves a home, and the Jews had no home, no land, no
right.
nothing in 1945
right.
when Hitler was defeated, and
yes.
They got their home, and they still
yes.
have it, and I love Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and
yes.
15, where it says, they
yes.
shall never again be uprooted from their land. So this is a permanent deal. No matter what the president of Iran says, no matter what all the
Amen.
Arabs who want death to Israel say, Israel
Amen.
Will exist. And
Amen.
You know, just because we know that, we still should
yes.
support Israel in our Congress,
exactly.
in our lawmakers. And the,
yes.
the exciting thing about what I love about America, I don't think
yes.
our president is very pro-Israel, but I'll tell you, our Congress and our Senate are very pro-Israel. And when Prime Minister Netanyahu came and spoke to Congress, he got a massive standing ovation.
I know.
Congress is totally behind it because they get it. They understand
yes.
Israel is more than just God's nation and a prophetic
yes.
Nation. Israel's yes. also our best strategic partner in helping combat terrorism. There's a lot
exactly.
of great reasons to support Israel besides
yeah.
the biblical part. It just is patriotic because we have so much in common. And, you
exactly.
know, the Jews' mindset in
yes.
Israel is so democratic and so similar to how we have
America.
Our freedom.
Absolutely.
It's unlike any other nation in the Middle East. There's nothing like Israel anywhere else in the Middle East. They are a beacon
exactly.
of light in a very,
exactly.
very dark area. And we know
You're
that
so
because the Arab Spring, you have Arabs all over the Middle East rising up against their governments because they're tired of the oppression. You don't have
yes.
any Jewish people in Israel rising up against the Israeli government because they
well,
love
they,
the country. It's such a great
they protect,
nation.
They protest.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to go to a break, and I'd like to talk about what I see happening in Israel, which saddens me a great deal. So we'll
great.
Go to break right now. We'll be back very soon with the exciting author and book Rebirth by Dave Langevin.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlight. I'm a retired judge. I'm so happy to have a show on bbsradio.com, Station 1, on alternate Saturdays. My website is www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murders in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister, and the theft of their millions but with the help of corrupt doctors, lawyers, and judges, and it's taking place on a huge scale in our country. Also, I am a prophet, a seer, a healer, a seeing to the body, the past, the future, and would be able to help with counseling. To contact me for that would be at my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G for George, E for elephant, V for victory, E for elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, again. And now you know why we in Israel had always sang. You know, we always would sing, let's be happy, let's sing, no matter how many wars there were around them. And Dave, go ahead. You started to say about what you felt about Israel, and I disturbed you. Talk about your trilogy, what's coming up after Rebirth.
Yeah, so Rebirth, of course, is finished, published, and out, and a lot of people are enjoying it. I'm so blessed and humbled that even a five-star brigadier general who's a rabbi and an author, he's a top Amazon reviewer, gave Rebirth five stars and just loved the book, and it's on Amazon. You can read the reviews there. There's lots of them. But it's really neat because, you know, Jewish people, Christians, and even people who aren't religious are all enjoying the book because, again, there's an intense love story, and there's a story about the human will to survive against impossible odds. All that combined with Israel's rich history and prophecies that foretold the miracles. So this is the premise of Rebirth. And Rebirth only covers from 1945, when Hitler was defeated, to 1948, the first day they became
That's all?
A nation.
Wow.
Dead Reborn is the next sequel. Reborn will cover the day after Israel, up to the 67 war, and then the final book in the series, titled Remain, will cover the 73 Yom Kippur War, all the way into the future rebuilding of Solomon's Temple. So it covers our future that we're to see in Israel. So it's a three-book series.
Wow. Have you submitted it to the Israeli government? Have you submitted your book to
trying,
them?
I'm trying.
I have
submitted it to an Israeli colonel. I heard Colonel Gruber speak, and I gave him a book, and I have tried to get it to people way up high. Same with Michael, Israel's... I forget who he is. Michael Oren.
The ambassador.
Yeah.
You know, the ambassador.
Yeah, the ambassador.
And what about,
thank you.
And what about Christians United for Israel? You know, which is
every
John
organization
Hagee.
You could, every organization you could think of, I sent them emails and tried to get them pamphlets, my website. But as you know, they're large.
No.
Inundated.
Yeah, don't do that. What you do is you call Netanyahu's, I'm telling you, Israeli way of doing things. You call Netanyahu's office. Make a call to Jerusalem. You say, I'm not getting off till I talk to the prime minister. It's a matter of life and death for Israel's survival. And then you say, I want you to read my book. That's how I would
That'd
do it.
Great. Okay, I'd like that. That's a bold approach, direct to the cut.
You
got like
it.
That.
You know, there's a word.
There's so much to this this story. You know, we can never cover it in an hour. But I'll tell you, the things you've already heard, there's spiritual lessons to be learned here. And
every person
that reads the book, pastors and rabbis, people, just common individuals, they read the book and they say, Dave, I had no idea. I didn't realize all these things took place. There's so many incredible prophecies, not just about the rebirth of Israel, but about the land and how it will produce the fruit that it produces today. Ezekiel 36, verses 34 through 36 is one of those prophecies that predicted Israel being a great, prosperous land. You know, there's so many things that Israel produces that the Bible said they would do in the last days, and sure enough, they're doing those things. It's just incredible.
You know something? I think, didn't they invent the cell phone? You know, they had so many Russian scientists,
Motorola of Israel invented the cell phone. They also invented the Pentium chip. And they invented a lot of things that people have no idea of what's come out of Israel.
Are you going to put that in your subsequent books in detail?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Everything we're talking about is being written about. Every single thing we're talking about. And Rebirth covers a massive part of it, and then the sequels finish up.
That it's got to be made into, it's not got to, it's going to be, it already is a done deal. It is a movie.
Well, here's something I'll tell you that I haven't shared with you yet. You know, there's no way to have a movie without a screenplay, and I'm in the middle of writing the screenplay. And a screenplay basically is a script that converts the book into a movie format. And I'm right in the middle of making the movie format. From that format, I only live 45 minutes from Hollywood. You know, I live in Hollywood's back door. I'm in Brea, California, right by Disneyland. And everybody in my area, you know, are movie makers, it seems like. And so I'm going to be shopping my my screenplay as soon as it's done, a couple months from now, to everybody I could imagine. You know, and I do believe with you that this needs to be a movie, and there are people out there that will make it. And again, like God does, it looks impossible because the standard movie studios, they don't want to touch anything about Israel. Like you said earlier, Israel's the most controversial nation in the world. And when you're a movie studio and you're trying to play it safe and not get a bad reputation, you don't want to touch a pro-Israel movie. However, there are a lot of Jewish and Christian filmmakers out there that will take the guts and actually touch this movie, and, you know, it needs to be told. That's the thing.
And you know something? So don't forget, there's a cultural attaché to the Israeli embassy in Washington. You need to get in touch with them. If you have to go fly over there and sit at the doorstep till they see you. you know how God has the prophets demonstrate what Israel has done? You know, one of them had to walk naked in the streets. I told God, that's one thing I'm not going to do. You know, he had another one, you know, marry a prostitute to show how Israel had prostituted away from God. But every time, no matter what Israel has done, God took them back because they are his chosen people, whether people like it or not. So you take the bold moves. You become an Israeli like they used to be. You know, what I wanted to tell you, you know, about Israel, what I started to say before, what really hurt me is, you know, when Rabin was killed, you know, the prime minister, and then people having demonstrations in the street, how they don't like the war policy of the government. That really bothers me because Israel would not exist without the war. I don't like wars. Yes. I've lived. Go ahead. What would you like to say?
And the Israelis would love nothing more to have war. I know they hate war. They don't want war. But unfortunately, war is necessary for their very survival.
Exactly.
And again, it has to exist because prophecy says Israel will be in our future. When the end all comes down, Israel's going to be there. And so
and
they have
the
to
capital?
Exist.
And who's the capital of the world?
Absolutely, Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, you got it. You know, when I was a little girl, my father said to me, I was like three, excuse me, and he would tell me over and over and over, don't ever forget that you were born in the city most important to the three main religions in the world, you know, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And, you know, I had written it to Ehud Olmert, who was the then mayor of Jerusalem before he became prime minister, and then he used that language in an interview that he did.
Mentioned that, too, because right now there's a major controversy about what is Jerusalem's capital. Our president does not want to admit to the world that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel because he doesn't want to anger the Arabs, and a lot of other people won't. And the American embassy is in Tel Aviv, and right now the Americans do not want to have the controversy of moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, where all the you know big leaders are, because they still have this appeasement to the Arab world.
Terrible.
And I tell you, it's a major controversy right now. Who is what is the capital of Jerusalem? I mean, of Israel. And it definitely is Jerusalem.
Isn't that
There's a few other things I wanted to cover that are miraculous in rebirth that I think would really fascinate you. How could these Jews win this war? As you know, God fought the battle for them. Deuteronomy is such a powerful scripture
that states that, you know, the Lord, Deuteronomy 1, chapter 1, verse 30, says, the Lord your God goes before you, and he himself will fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And one of the ways the Lord used this miracle is that he gave the Jewish people ingenuity to win an impossible war, a war against the British, a war against post-war Nazis, a war against hundreds of thousands of Arabs. They're outnumbered about a ratio of 100 to 1, not in troops, but in arms and supplies. So here's something incredible on Rebirth's website, rebirthofisrael.com. You can go to 1948 images, a little tab there, and did you know there was an underground bullet factory that the Jews had built in 1945?
It was in, of course,
the city won't come to my head.
It'll come to you. Don't worry.
It will come to me, but it's still a museum today. You can see it on the History Channel, or you can view it on my website under 1948 images. So here we are in 1945. The British had made it a law that no Jews could possess firearms. You'd go to jail if you were a Jew in 1945 in Palestine and you possessed a firearm. Now, if you're an Arab, you certainly could. But if you were creating anything, like manufacturing arms, then you could possibly get the death penalty for actually manufacturing it. So what the Jews did, in their Jewish ingenuity, they went underground and built a 1,700-square-foot bullet factory, because the Haganah were ill-equipped. They needed massive, massive ammunition. And, of course, they couldn't smuggle it in fast enough underneath the British noses. So they decided, you know what, let's import some equipment from Europe and build a bullet factory. And so, again, you can see this on the History Channel, which is on my website on YouTube.
Yes.
And there's this underground bullet factory underneath a kibbutz. And for those who don't know what a kibbutz is, it's a small village. And in the center of these villages, they'd have a washing laundry area and a little brick oven stove where you could do your own thing. Yeah. And basically a kibbutz was a self-sustaining Jewish village. Underneath the laundry, you could hit a little switch and the washing machine would move, and you could go down inside this underground bullet factory, and they were producing 40,000 rounds of 9mm bullets, which housed their Sten guns. They had these machine guns that were cheap and easy to build. That was the ammunition for the Haganah, the Jewish underground. Now, here's the funny part. Many British soldiers relied on local Jewish kibbutzes to do their laundry. Yes. So British officers were bringing their laundry right above the bullet factory, not knowing that underground, under this concrete barrier, they were making 40,000 rounds a day. Average age group of the Jews down there making the bullets was 18 to 22 years old.
Wow.
They had a firing range down there, fully insulated in midnight, that they could test the bullets with. And I'll get and this is all documented on History Channel. You can see all this.
I had no idea, Dave.
Now, have you ever heard of the Davidica? There's one more thing I have to tell you. That
Davidica. You mean a gun, right? Yes, Davidica.
Yeah, the Davidica.
Most people have never heard of it. It's your name with a K-A. Yes.
Yeah, Davidica basically was a mortar launcher. It was a bomb that the Jewish people used that was so brilliant, because the bomb hardly did any damage at all. But what it did do is it sounded so loud, it sounded like the world was coming to an end. So the original concept of shock and awe to intimidate your enemy came from the Jews in the 1940s. So when the Arabs were coming close to the Haganah headquarters, which would have killed them all if they would have took down their headquarters, they would set off a Davidica. And they could literally make the Arab invading armies go in the direction they wanted them to go into, because it's intimidating Davidica. It was really an incredible device. All this is in my book, Rebirth. You could live it, breathe it, see it, and you watch all this unfolding in this incredible book that will just tell you the whole story. But that's another just phenomenal, one of many phenomenal miracles that the Jewish used as ingenuity, that the Lord gave them the insight to do, that won an impossible war.
Unbelievable. And I'm sorry we have to say goodbye, but I cannot thank you enough, Dave. Not only for telling the story, but for the research you've done, for getting such a wonderful trilogy going. And we thank you, Lord, for making it into a world bestseller and the best movie ever made. In Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you, and God bless everybody who is listening. And get the book Rebirth, and go to rebirth.com, is it?
Rebirthofisrael.com.
Thank you so much. God bless you,
Thank you, Judge Eve. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom 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 alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom 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 alechem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.